So when my sister-in-law was about 16 or 17 years old, she bought three cute, fluffy little ducklings for my mother-in-law for Mother's Day. I think she happened to be somewhere that was selling ducklings, like a feed store or something. I think she had snakes at the time, actually, now that I think about it. So she was all into exotic pets back then. So anyway, she bought these ducks. They probably cost less than $10 for three ducks or something like that. And she thought, yeah, there's a gift. I'm going to get these ducklings. And, you know, let's all be honest, ducklings are super cute. They are the cutest. So they're so adorable. They're fluffy and yellow. They squeak. You know, you put them in the bathtub and they just kind of float in it like toys. They are actually very snuggly. Ducklings are snuggly. They'll sit in your lap in a little pile. They're adorable. But there is a reason why people don't usually buy ducks for their mothers on Mother's Day. Usually flowers are customary, and that's probably better because ducks are very high maintenance. They're livestock, right? So they're cute, but these ducks, the other big secret is ducklings become ducks. So these ducklings went from being cute little fluffy yellow puffballs to being adult ducks that require space, that require food, that require protection from raccoons. So raccoons are not just nature's bandits with like the little, you know, mask on. They're also apparently nature's decapitators. So, you know, it's not, they learned that the hard way. And they replace the ducks, which is crazy. But ducks, the other thing you may not know about ducks is that they are not super bright. So one of them, Gus, and there's a picture of Gus with my niece, Saya. They're both cute, right? Saya's cute, Gus is cute. Not the brightest bulb, though, that Gus, named after the Cinderella character, yes. He got himself tangled up in a soccer net very, very badly once. He just ran into it. His neck was caught. His wings were caught. It was pandemonium. His leg was all caught up in there. And the more he wiggled and freaked out and quacked, the worse it got. So my mother-in-law and my sister-in-laws are all freaking out, like, oh, we got to save Gus. Like, he's going to die. He's getting himself so tangled up. It's getting worse and worse. He's freaking out. They're freaking out. Everyone's hearts are beating like crazy because they don't want anything bad to happen. They finally untangle him. They take him a few feet away. They set him down. Facing away from the soccer net. He has newfound freedom. New life, right? Immediately, what does he do? Turns around, runs right back into the soccer net and gets himself all tangled up all over again. So, and that's what ducks are like, okay? So my mother-in-law never asked for these ducks, right? She never wanted ducks, you know? She wasn't that crazy about them while she had them. This isn't a euphemism, but they do live on a farm now. They don't live with her. So they didn't get sent to a farm as in, like, code word. They actually do live on a farm. But she wasn't crazy about the ducks. They were an expensive headache, right? They took over her backyard and just kind of destroyed it. My mother-in-law got a gift that she didn't want. She got a gift that she did not ask for. So you might be all sitting here thinking, what do ducks have to do, or Mother's Day for that matter, I guess, have to do with prayer? What do ducks and Mother's Day have to do with prayer? Well, I'll explain that. So my name's Emma. I'm one of the pastors here at Harbor. We're nearing the end of our current sermon series on prayer. We took this season of Lent, these 40 days, to focus on prayer. Traditionally, those 40 days of Lent, you know, we try to focus our hearts on Jesus, and we decided to do that, but through prayer. Because the truth is, we need someone to teach us how to pray. We're not so good at it. We kind of rush through prayer sometimes. We don't make time in our busy days to pray. We don't know how to pray, so we feel kind of awkward when we sit down and like start praying out loud. There's all kinds of things that kind of get in the way of prayer. But the truth is that we need it. We need to pray. Prayer is our lifeline to God. So we get to know God when we pray. It's how we can refocus our lives on Him, focus our attention on Him. So this passage that we've been reading in Luke 11, well, one we're looking at today is at the tail end of this passage that we've been focusing on. One of Jesus' disciples said, teach us how to pray. And this whole passage that we've been looking at has been Jesus teaching. And this is the last thing he wanted to teach, is that he wanted to teach us how we can ask God to give us good gifts. And I would like to wager that when it comes to gifts, in the same way that it comes to prayer, we're not good at asking God for gifts. We don't know what's good for us. We ask for things that are about as practical and convenient as ducklings. So we're going to unpack this idea of asking for good gifts from God, and we're going to see what Jesus tells us a good gift actually is. So we're going to look at this passage together closely. We're in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 11. If you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles as a gift in the back. We also are going to have the scripture up in the screens around us. So, Luke 11, starting verse 11. "You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So over this series, we've talked about prayer, we've talked about what happens when we pray, how we become connected to God, and actually on the second week of this series, John preached on "May your name be kept holy," the second part of the Lord's prayer. "Hallowed be your name" is probably what we're used to. So we focused on how huge God is, how worthy he is of our worship. He is worthy, he is huge. Remember the image of the sun, and he said that, you know, thousands of earths can fit in the sun, and we're like a speck of dust on earth, so that's humongous, right? God is humongous. We are very, very tiny compared to God, right? So when we pray to God, when we come to him, we're coming to him as these like itty-bitty, teeny-tiny, microscopic beings, right? I mean, God is bigger than the sun, and we are like on earth, we're like super tiny. So when we do all the comparisons, it turns out we're pretty microscopic when it comes down to it. But God does not see us that way. God sees us as children. If we're going to believe Jesus' words here in the scripture, what he tells us that God sees us as children. The metaphor that Jesus is using is that the way that God sees us is the way that human fathers provide for their children, which changes our perspective. So God is huge and we're microscopic, but he is like a father to us. In verse 11, Jesus says, "You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not." So when we pray, even though we're praying to the ruler and the maker of the universe, even though we're talking about a being that is infinitely larger, infinitely wiser, infinitely more important, with more important things to worry about, this metaphor tells us that we can compare God to our earthly fathers. He still cares. So even though God is bigger than us, he still loves us the way that fathers love their children. And in fact, he loves us better than human fathers love their children. Because when we pray, when we ask things from God, even persistently, so John talked about persistent prayers last week. We go to him over and over again. God gives to us. He gives us things that we need. So when we seek him, we will find him. When we knock, the door will be open to us. And God's gifts are good gifts, not ducklings, right? When we ask for good gifts from God, something that in the same way that children might ask for eggs or fish, or if we're going to modernize this, right? I mean, I guess kids don't really like fish these days. We can say chicken fingers, like the basic things that are staples in kids' diets. When we ask for those things from God, God gives that to us the same way that an earthly father will give food to his children. If a child asks for food, egg, fish, chicken fingers, it would be very cruel for the parent to give that child a scorpion or a stone. And the verses that follow point this out. Verse 13, "So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit who ask him?" Have any of you here ever given somebody a really good gift? Like the perfect gift? Can any of you honestly answer that? And I would like to say, yep, I have. I've totally done that. There was a birthday gift a few years ago that I got from my husband, Jeff, and it was like awesome. Like I was like, it was one of those gifts that took a few months to like get ready, and the timing was just perfect. I like knocked it out of the park with that gift. It was amazing. I was like so excited. I'm like, "Jeff, I can't wait to give you this present. It's so cool. You're going to love it." And it was. He opened it and he's like, "Oh, I can't believe you got this for me. This is like the best present ever. Like, this is great." And I was like, "I know." And I won like the best wife of the year award and all that stuff. It was awesome. Seriously. but I can't remember for the life of me what the present was. Like, I can't remember what I got him. Like, I keep thinking, I rack my brains and I can't remember. And so I was getting ready for this and I'm like, Jeff, do you remember when I got you that like awesome present? It was like amazing and you loved it. It was like the perfect gift. He's like, yeah, that was an awesome present. And I was like, okay, but what was it? And he couldn't remember it either. Like, he couldn't remember what the present was. So, you know, it's a good reminder that even though this was like the best present ever and like the lifetime of gifts that I've given, it was the best gift, I couldn't even remember what it was. And so this kind of sets the perspective on what we mean by good gifts, what good gifts are. A gift that God wants to give us is going to be memorable, right? It's not going to be something that we just remember being awesome but not know what it is. So what is a good and perfect gift that God wants to give to us? And another question we want to remember, too, is it something we actually want and actually need? Is it something that we asked for? Is it going to make our lives better, or is it going to be something that makes life harder, like ducks that take over your backyard? Like, what is this good gift? And if we look at these verses, we start to get some answers. So let's start here. The good gift from God that he wants to give to us is the gift of his Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. So let's pause there for a second. What is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is one of the Trinity. It is God. God is three people in one, which I know is crazy sounding, right? It is hard to wrap our brains around the Trinity. God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, those three things are all God. And it's a hard to grasp thing. And I'm going to explain it, but I know I'm not going to get at it completely today in the short amount of time that we have. This is God that we're talking about. God is infinitely knowable and unknowable at the same time. He is God, and we are not. But here is the Reader's Digest version. The short version is, the Holy Spirit is God's presence with us. So if we look in another book of the Bible in John, chapter 14, starting verse 25, this is what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. He said, I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. So Jesus here is telling us that this Holy Spirit is like a liaison when he goes back to be with God, and that is where we are now. Jesus ascended to the Father. So he sent the Holy Spirit in place of him. It is something that speaks to our hearts. It is something that tells us that Jesus is true, that God exists, that God is with us. That's the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is our fuel. It is the thing that changes us. It's the thing that powers us to love and care for other people and to know and love God more. It's how God works in our hearts. That's the Holy Spirit. So this might be freaking you out a little bit, right? And that's okay. We don't really talk about the Spirit in this day and age, right? Except for, I mean, does everyone remember Miss Cleo, like late at night when she says that you can call and connect with the spirits or whatever? That's what we're used to, is kind of weird things like that, or TV shows where they speak to the dead. And that's not what I'm talking about. That is not the Spirit thing that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, which is God, when we can trust in him. The Holy Spirit is God's presence with us. And when we ask God, when we pray and we ask God to speak to us, when we ask for God to heal, whether it's healing us or healing someone that we know, when we ask for God to give us his peace, that is who we're talking to. We're asking for the Holy Spirit when we pray those prayers. So we may feel a little weird about this idea of the Holy Spirit, but it's not so weird when you realize that's what you do when you pray to God. You're asking for the Holy Spirit, and you may not even be realizing that that's what you're doing. And if we're going to keep looking at this metaphor of the Holy Spirit as a gift from God, and the Holy Spirit is something as very basic like eggs or fish for children, if it's basic as food, we have to remember that the Holy Spirit is God's good gift to us, and it is his perfect gift. So when we come to him with our requests for the best that God has to offer us for his good gift, we are asking God to send us his Holy Spirit, and he will always give the Holy Spirit to us. So, how many of you are sitting here and you heard me say that and you were kind of like, so God's perfect gift is Psych, the Holy Spirit. I mean, kind of like the old bait and switch kind of thing. So I may not think that consciously. I might have, like, as we call the Sunday school answer of, oh yeah, that's cool. But when it comes down to it, when it comes to me asking for gifts from God, I don't usually think of his good gift as being the Holy Spirit. I don't always really think that because I think that God's good gifts are usually something else. So I have a very different idea of that. So at one point of my life, I'd be praying. I'd be like, God, give me your good gift, an awesome boyfriend, right? So, you know, that's not a horrible prayer, right? But that's what I thought God's good gift for me was. So give me this great boyfriend. And you know what? He answered that prayer. I got a husband, which is awesome. He's great. But while, you know, while Jeff is like Mary Poppins in that he is practically perfect in every way, he is not actually perfect. He couldn't even remember what I got him for his birthday that year. So, I mean, he's not totally perfect. Okay, so there's another point in my life where my prayer was, all right, God, give me your good gift, a career in academia. I can study English literature for a job, maybe. You know, it's going to be awesome. I love it. It's perfect. But as it turns out, that was not God's perfect gift. Getting my master's in English was actually very tough for me in my life, and I didn't end up getting my PhD, so nope, wasn't that. Okay, all right, maybe it's just the wrong career. God, I love writing. I've loved writing since I was a little kid. Before I could write, I'd draw pictures and make books. I just love it. So God, your good gift is making me a writer. So that's it. So I thought that's what it was. I thought that would be my purpose. But here's a big surprise. I'm sure that all of you are going to be shocked by this. It's hard to make a career out of writing and pay your bills. So that didn't work out quite as well. Okay, so maybe I was just wrong about the career. I've got it this time. All right, God, give me your perfect gift. I'm going to go into ministry, full-time ministry, right? That is the perfect gift. So, you know, at the time that I prayed that prayer, I wasn't here at Harbor. I was at a different church, and I was just ready to pour my heart and soul into this church. I loved that church. It was like, I was so passionate about it and the ministry that they were doing. I thought it was great. I'm like, yep, this is what God wants because I'm working for God. So that's definitely his good gift. So it's like asking him for something that he wants me to do anyway. So that's his perfect gift. Well, actually, no. The reality is church is not God's perfect and good gift. Things that church in particular, they kind of crumbled and fell apart. And the good news is that because of the crumbling there, I came here to Harbor. So, woo, I mean, that's good. But even now, I remember from that experience that I have to remember that that's not God's good and perfect gift. It's, you know, church is important, it's essential, but it's not that gift. Okay, so that wasn't God's good gift. All right, let's get away from career. That's kind of striking out. So what about babies? So we always say children and babies are God's perfect gifts to us, like God's good gift. So I actually got that gift this year. Clementine, she's super sweet, 7 months old. So yes, that's it, God's perfect gift, babies. Well, nope, sorry. Babies are not God's perfect gift because they're human. So that, you know, and I love Clementine more than I love almost anything else in the world. I could probably say, yeah, I love her more than anything else in the world. I love Clementine, but she's not what Jesus was talking about because she's human. So last night when I'm about to go to sleep and I'm just so close to sleep, I hear crying and it's like, oh, that's a reminder, not perfect gift. She is, again, like Jeff, almost perfect, but she won't let me sleep. So that kind of checks that off. All right, so great, but not the perfect gift. So God's good gift isn't people. God's good gift isn't a job. It isn't a direction. It isn't self-help. It can't be bought at the mall. It can't be bought online. And that's just the way that it is. We don't know what perfect and good gifts are, and we cannot give good and perfect gifts. We can't even ask for the good and perfect gifts because we are sinners. We don't like that word very much, right? Sinner, sin. You know, it makes us kind of like cringe a little bit. We're like, oh, not another churchy word that's made up just to make us feel bad about ourselves, right? But the truth is, sin is a reality. So we are sinners because we are human. We sin. Sin is not so much a thing that we do wrong, but it is kind of a state of being. We are just in that state of sin. So while I was saying how earthly fathers give us good gifts a little earlier, some of you might have been sitting there hearing that and thinking like, not my father. He was not a good guy. I would have preferred a stone or a scorpion over the kind of gifts that he gave me. He gave me a lot of baggage and no good gifts. So, true enough. Jesus reminds us in this passage that we are sinners and sinful people. We're sinful fathers, sinful mothers, sinful daughters, sinful sons, children, cousins, friends, all of that. We are sinful, so we are not good anything, really. Only God is the true and good father. Only God is able to give good and perfect gifts. So you know that thing inside of you that makes you want to do things your way and all other people be hanged? That's sin. You know how you kind of like lash out at people when someone points out something that you're kind of ashamed about? That's sin. You know how you try to prove your value to other people by doing really nice things for them? That's sin. You know how you try to kind of control other people and then you get kind of angry when they don't let you control them? That's sin. You know how you let fear dictate your decisions and your relationships? That's sin. You know how you let anxiety overrun your thoughts and keep you up at night? That's sin. You know how you care more about things that hurt and affect you and don't care that much about how things hurt and affect other people? That's sin. Sin just goes hand in hand with human existence. And you know, hear me out. I am not saying this right now to make you feel bad or guilty or sad. I want to make that really clear. You know, this is not about shame. Shame does not come from God ever. God does not want us to be ashamed. But I am saying this because it's a reality, and sometimes we need that reset. We don't know what good gifts are, and we can't give good gifts because we have that sinful nature in us. So, what does all that have to do with prayer? If we've got that sinful nature, we don't know what good gifts are, and God wants to give us good gifts, how does this all tie back to prayer? I'll tell you. It's about prayer because prayer is when we choose to align ourselves with God. Prayer is about alignment. God doesn't need our prayers, but he wants our prayers. He wants us to pray because when we pray, we are lining ourselves up with him. We are lining our hearts up with him, we're focusing our minds on him, and we're allowing him to speak to us when we speak to him. So how do we become aligned with God? How do we allow him to fill us from head to toe? We do this by connecting with God in prayer and asking him to give us his good gift, the Holy Spirit, himself. Because he is our good father, he gives us himself. He gives us his Holy Spirit. But here's the thing. Because when we pray, we need to know what we're asking for. We need to ask for the right thing. We need to ask God for good gifts. And God tells us what it is we ultimately need to be asking for when we pray is his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit is his perfect and good gift. If you're anything like me, you're kind of skeptical of this, right? You might be thinking, God telling me what to ask for, that sounds an awful lot like going out to eat with some controlling person who orders food for you before you can even say what you want, right? If you sit down and someone's like, she'll have the meatballs, right? Like that's may not be what you want. And that's what it kind of sounds like, right? Well, we're going to go back to our little kid metaphor. So I want to do a little exercise altogether. So I want you all to get into the zone of being your 5-year-old self. So pretend you're 5 years old. Try to think the way you did as a 5-year-old. And we're going to do a little multiple choice test together. And I want you to answer this test, not as you are as an adult, but as a 5-year-old. So pick the best career option out of the following. Number one, extreme stunt man or stunt woman. So you get to jump a motorcycle over a flaming 18-wheeler that's exploding everywhere. So that's job option number one. Job option number two, ice cream scooper. Okay, so it's a minimum wage pay, but you get free ice cream every day. Option number three, professional dog petter. So you get to pet dogs for 8 whole hours for free. Okay, and then option number four, an accountant. So great salary, but you have to sit at a desk, you have to wear a suit, and you have to do math, and it's not even for school. Okay, so show of hands, how many of you would have picked option number one? All right, so some hands. Option number two, ice cream scooper. Okay, professional dog petter, option number three. That's the popular one. How many of you would be an accountant when you're 4 years old? Right, I see one. There's always a couple weirdos, okay? I understand. A couple of you people were really serious kids and smart, but that's all right. Some of you are serious kids, but most of you picked one of those other options because when we're kids, we want to do things that are fun. We want to do things that make us feel good, or we want to do all these other things besides things that are, you know, maybe more wise decisions, right? We ignore the fact that some careers may be, you know, dangerous, right, or fattening, or don't actually pay the bills. So while most of us are in the adult range in this room, not five-year-olds, right, we have the same struggle when it comes to prayer. We struggle with aligning ourselves with God and asking for things that help us, right? So earlier, I listed off a bunch of sins that some of I struggle with, that many of us struggle with. You may have other sins in your life that you struggle with that aren't even on that list. You may not be following Jesus at all. You may have been following Jesus forever. Regardless, we're all on the same boat. We are all having the struggle where we have a hard time deciding what it is that's good for us and asking for it, because sin still comes after us. Sin still dogs us. But the Holy Spirit is here to help us. Jesus said that the Spirit is an advocate. It is a comforter. It is a bringer of peace. So that when we wrestle with these sins, with that nature that's in us, we ask for the Holy Spirit's help. But even more importantly, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, convicts us of sin, because we are in the world. If we look at John chapter 16, verse 8, it says, "And when he comes, the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment." I mean, have you ever gone through life and you suddenly start feeling kind of heavy and like bad, and then you stop for a second, you're like, well, when was the last time I like prayed? When was the last time I actually went to God and talked to him? And I think that nudging to pray, that nudging that you feel, that's the Holy Spirit working in you. I feel that prodding all the time. So, you know, I'll be feeling uneasy and all of a sudden I like pause and I'm like, oh my goodness, I've been living my everyday life as though God doesn't even exist. Which is really bad because I work here in a church, right? So it should be pretty obvious that God impacts my everyday life, but it's easy to just get into a pattern and not consider that. A few months ago, I was just sitting in my bed with my phone, and I know it's a terrible habit and I shouldn't do it, but I do that, and I sit there and I scroll through Facebook before bed. And there's just like all this garbage on there, right, about wars that are happening, and there's all this political tension and unrest, and there's just disagreements between people and fights in the comments section. And then you read about, even if it's just your friends on Facebook that you know, get along with and stuff, and you see that there's sad things happening in their lives, that there's like sickness and that their family's breaking up, and there's just all these issues that come out on Facebook. And so I'm sitting there scrolling through this stuff, getting like feeling more and more worried and more anxious and sad. And then I stop and I realize the Holy Spirit, which lives in me, is a spirit of peace. So instead of sitting there scrolling through Facebook and getting more worried and feeling like I need to take on all these problems and feeling anxious, I need to put my phone away and pray for the Spirit of peace. Or I find myself being super critical of other people's choices, or like unable to understand their choices. I don't know if any of you are like this. This is a big struggle for me. I have a couple of siblings who have some pretty real struggles in their lives, and I want to try to help them. And I'm also a know-it-all, so I like try to give them good advice. So I'm like, this is what you should do. This will solve your problems. If you do this, everything will be awesome. And then, surprise, surprise, instead of taking my advice, they make other decisions, or decisions that I think are weird, or they don't make any decisions. And then I go, again, on Facebook. Maybe I should just get rid of Facebook, right? And then I see things on Facebook that they do or whatever, and I'm like, what the heck? Like, what are you doing? I just talked to you. I just gave you this advice. And then, you know, I start ranting to people, like, why can't people change? Why don't people change? Why don't people listen to me? Why doesn't that happen? Not good, right? Because then the Holy Spirit, which lives in me, does this twist around my heart, right? It kind of makes me stop. And the Holy Spirit says, well, wait a second. Does God want you to change people, or does God want you to love people? And then I realize, oh, that's right. It's not my job to go around handing out advice. Advice doesn't change people's lives. Jesus changes people's lives. Jesus' love changes people's lives. I need to love and pray for people without ceasing. Lord, you know, and then I have to pray, Lord, forgive me for being so critical of other people instead of loving them unconditionally. So the Holy Spirit, which lives in me, is a spirit that convicts me of my sin. And I need to remember that I should ask for forgiveness first when I do wrong and pray for the good of others rather than trying to just change them all the time. So like a good parent, God wants to meet our true needs. We need his help so we're not limited by that sinful nature. And only God can break the chains of sin. Only God can free us from that limited sinful nature through the work of his Spirit, through his work in our lives. So how does that happen? Do we just pray once, say, God, give me your Holy Spirit, and then move on with our lives? It's a start, but that's not going to be how it works exactly, right? It's an infusion. It's a thing that we have to do daily. It's a daily bread situation. We need to ask for the Holy Spirit to be with us every day, because the truth is the Holy Spirit is with you. You're just not really with the Holy Spirit, right? That's what ends up happening. So we need to constantly ask for that refill from God. We need to realign ourselves with Him and with His Spirit. We need to want what God wants. We need to ask for God what He wants to give to us, that perfect and good gift. And here's what this verse tells us. God will give us more. More than what our earthly fathers can, more than what we think we need, what we think will make us happy. God gives us more. We may not think that the Holy Spirit is such a great gift, but it is. God knows that it is, and that's what He wants to give to us. The gift of God's Spirit is bigger than you can imagine. It's the gift of God Himself. He doesn't want to give us gifts that we can't use. He doesn't want to give us ducklings. He doesn't want to give us gifts that we forget about or don't think of later. He wants to give us Himself. He wants to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit, the only thing that can truly change who we are. And that's what we really need. We need to pray for that advocate that Jesus mentions. We need that peace in our lives. So we're going to pray together to close. And I want you to consider how you can ask God for that good gift today. So one way that you can pray for God's good gift is to pray that His Spirit will be with you. So maybe, you know, this is new. You don't go to church that often, or maybe you've been going to church a lot all your life, but you just don't feel like God is with you. You just feel like God feels really far away. You feel like you don't know where He is. Take this time to pray and ask for God's Holy Spirit. Ask God to give you this good gift. Ask God to allow you to feel Him beside you and with you always, because that's the promise that God gave to all of us who follow Him, who believe. He says nothing can separate you from His love. He is not far away. God is not in some heavenly place way far away. God is here with us. And He will always be with us. So take some time now to pray and ask Him to fill you with His presence, fill you with His Spirit. Another way that you can ask or pray for God's Spirit, pray that God's Spirit and presence will be with other people in your life. So this whole series, we've had you take up these little cards that on the back of it, there's little three little slots where you can write people's names down. And we asked you to take those cards and pray for those people through this whole series. And next week is going to be Easter Sunday. Easter Saturday and Sunday, we do both. So it's going to be our Easter service next weekend. And we celebrate Jesus' resurrection. This is why the church is here, is because of what happened on Easter. And it's a great day to invite people, family and friends, to come to church. So look at that card. Pray for those people. Pray for other people in your life, too, and ask, like, if God would work in their lives and lead them to Him, to bring them back to Him. Maybe it's on Easter Sunday. Maybe it's at a different church. Maybe it's here. Maybe this person lives across the country in another country. Just pray that God would work in them, that the Holy Spirit would change them and focus them on Him and lead him or her to God. And if you feel led while you're even praying and that person just pops in your head, text them and say, come to Easter. Come join me and come to Easter next weekend. One of our former pastors, Jed, he used to say this all the time. He'd say, never underestimate the power of a simple invitation. Because that invitation is simple. The real work is not actually inviting the person. The real work is God working in them and bringing them to Him. So pray for them. Pray for those three people. Pray for other people too, and ask God to bring them back to Him. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You so much for sending us that Comforter, for sending us Your Advocate, for sending us Your Holy Spirit, God, that we know You will never leave us, You will never turn Your back on us, that You are always beside us. I pray, Lord, that You would open our hearts and our eyes to remember that, Lord. I pray that You would soften our hearts to realize when You are telling us we are not following You and when we turn our backs on You, Lord. And Lord, we pray that Your presence would be felt in the lives of the people in this room and the people who are outside of this room, people who are far from You, who want to know You, Lord, who are searching for You, Lord. Holy Spirit, work in their lives and bring them back. We love You and we thank You that through Your Son, God, that we can know You, that we can feel Your presence in our lives. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.